Well, Father, I really do thank you for the ones that came out. I thank you for the ones who are sitting at home watching. And Father God, I'm just asking you do a special thing for the people tonight. And Father God, yes, I see the ladder leading up into heaven. Father God, take us up into the heavenly places right now. Don't teach us from down here in this beggarly element. Take us up into your heavenly realm, Father. Reveal all things to us tonight. Take us into a deeper depth than we've ever gone into before. And Father, we thank you for it. We truly do thank you for your word for tonight. We thank you for your presence. Father God, I thank you that Sister Dana was able to come out tonight. I thank you for all your people, Father God, that sacrificed to come and sit in your presence. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have decided we're not going to close for snow days anymore. I said it last night at home, we'd get Daryl to get a horse and buggy, and he'd go around and gather everybody up in a sleigh and bring us to church. Isn't that what we said? And he said he would do that. We'd just step over to our Amish neighbors and say, we need to borrow your sleigh and a horse for the night. I think that would be fun, really, don't you? All right, tonight we're going to talk about a positive God. This is really what I was had for this morning, and had the other one for tonight, but God said, no, I want the other one in the morning. So tonight, and we're going to talk about a positive God. Philippians 4, 8 and 9 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Now remember, we're talking about positive things. So then God starts speaking. Children, it is time to get your attention off of what is happening in the political arena and focus on the great harvest with signs, wonders, and miracles. The enemy has distracted long enough, and now it is time to get back to life and life more abundantly. No matter what is occurring around about you, you should be a people of good report. Never once should a negative report proceed out of your mouths. I know everybody, your shoes are getting really tight about right now, right? God said, my word is filled with positive reports while negative things are occurring. My words tell you that your words either bring life or they bring death. Then Proverbs 18:21 says the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Then 1 Peter 3:10 says, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let's read those two again. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And 1 Peter 3:10, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Then God said, please, children, walk on the positive side from this day forth and quit allowing circumstances dictate how you feel. 2 Kings 4:18 says, it's talking about the Shunammite woman. What happened here was she was really good to the prophet, and so the prophet wanted to do something great for her, and his sidekick said, well, she doesn't have any children, so the prophet prophesied she'd have a son, and she had a son. And this is where the story continues now. And the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father to the reapers, and he said to his father, my head, my head. So he said to a servant, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and she had made a room for the prophet. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. So her husband said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, it is well. It is that one song they played this morning. I thought, we should have that for tonight. Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant, Gehazi, look, the Shunammite woman. And then verse 26 says, he tells the servant, run at once to meet her and say to her, is all well with you? Is all well with your husband? Is all well with the child? And she answered, all is well. And when she came to the mountain to the man of God, she caught hold of his feet, and Gehazi came to push her away. But the man of God said, leave her alone, for she is in bitter distress. Now look at this. And the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. So you guys think he tells you everything? He doesn't. See that? That was the prophet. God didn't tell him what was going on. Then the prophet summoned Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she came to him, he said, pick up your son. She came and fell at his feet, bowing to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. All is well. She did not speak death. You can go back, and when you get home, read that whole chapter and see how the talk interacted. And she never once told him that he died, I mean, that the boy died. She kept saying, all is well. There's not a one of us in the room that would have done that. He's dead. I've got to go get the prophet, right? And when you get to the prophet, said, you know, how come you let him die? God is wanting to teach us tonight to speak positive. All is well. What did Jesus say about Lazarus? He's not dead. All is well. When Jesus healed the little girl, he says she's just asleep, but she was dead. All is well. Isn't this ministering to you tonight? It ministered to me when I put it together. All right, let's go to Numbers 13. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel from each tribe of their fathers. You shall send a man, every one a leader among them. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains. You know, it just amazes me how in the Word God always gave them explicit instructions how to do something. This is what God wants to do with us. He wants to tell us exactly from point A to point C exactly what to do. And then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. Then I skipped over some of that, and you can read that when you get home. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. See there, they spied for 40 days. Everything's in 40 days. Then they told him instead, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Now, the fruit was a big thing of grapes, and they were big grapes, all right? All right, let's go back to 27. Then they told Moses and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. See, there was a negative talk. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. He was saying all is well. And Numbers 13:30 says, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of land, for we can certainly do it. Now, all 12 saw the same thing, but only two had a good report. And that very same thing could happen in this room tonight. We could all say the same thing, and only one would have a good report. You see what I'm saying? Everybody else would have a negative report. Then God says, good reports, children. All you should be giving is good reports. All is well should be your constant confession. None of us have attained that yet. But we are after tonight, right? God says, my land is a land of plenty. It is flowing with all the milk, honey, and fruit you will ever need. Do not go the way of Baal where there is only lack and want. Children, the only way to walk in positive thinking and talking is through faith. In Hebrews 11:1, why do we need faith? Faith gives us, number one, a rock-solid foundation for life, a revelation of the unseen world, real worship, and a good report. Hebrews 11:1 through 38, now faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their condemnation. All right, we'll pass that. Verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. See, at that time there was no rain. And God told Noah to build this ark. And while he's building this ark, everybody was making fun of him because the only thing where they had water was the moisture came up to the ground. And everybody's making fun of him. Then all of a sudden, the rain came from the sky. And everybody wanted to get in the ark. And guess what? They couldn't get in the ark. They stood outside screaming to be in while Moses drifted off with his little barrage of animals and his family. So it was by faith he was building this ark. What is God asking you to do by faith? And people are looking at you like you're crazy. I mean, they made a lot of fun of Noah. But still, Noah followed God by faith. And look what happened. Then by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. And by faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Now, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. But she laughed at first, didn't she? Me, have a baby? By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. See, through Isaac, things were going to happen, but God had told him to kill Isaac. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. That we all know that he didn't kill his son, that God had a goat or something stuck in the bush, right? By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, see, at that point, they were killing all the male children, but the mother hid Moses, and look what God did with Moses. And by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures. the pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. See, Moses could have stayed in the castle and had everything he wanted, but he didn't do that. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. Now, when Moses was standing there, he just didn't all of a sudden say, cross over. He was fighting that thing, and the people were complaining. But by faith, he finally did what God told him to do, and the Red Sea parted, and they all went over in dry ground, and their enemies were no more. So even though it looks impossible in front of you, you don't know what God's doing behind you. Amen? You don't really know what God has up his sleeve. So by faith, we just step out there and do. When God called me to do the ministry, I said, I don't know how to do that. And he says, like running a business, he said, my Holy Spirit will teach you. So I just stepped out there with two people, and God started to increase. By faith, the lighthouse was formed. What is God asking you to do? You don't have to have a road. I did not have a roadmap in front of me. But everything I did, God was there, and he was leading me, guiding me, and directing me. So guys, some of the things that God's asking you to do, you don't know how you're going to do it. You just have to do it. And if you have to ask somebody questions, ask questions. But if God is calling you to do it, the Holy Spirit will lead you, and you won't have to ask questions. I got to put that in there, because God is there to lead, God, and direct you. And what you need to do is take time in your face, seeking God's face, for a direction to do what he wants you to do. I don't know where I'm at. Am I on 30? By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been in the circle for 7 days. Don't you think they were laughing them to scorn? Look at them dummies walking around here like this. Not saying a word, right? But they were following God's voice by faith. And by faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. You know, Rahab hid God's servants, and her life was saved. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, 33 who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. They walked by faith with God and accomplished all that God wanted them to accomplish, and it was all for our betterment. So, what are you doing by faith? You know, when you're talking positive, if you have a problem, you shouldn't be talking negative about your problem. You should be talking positive. And all right, let's just say that you're an alcoholic. You shouldn't say, I'll always be an alcoholic. You should say, God has delivered me from alcoholism. Then walk it out by faith. Let God do it. And your friends around about you shouldn't be saying, well, they're once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic, because that's not true. And that's with any addiction. God is able to deliver you out of your addiction, but you have to have faith for this to happen. Because if you don't have faith, you're going to use that little old tongue that's like a sword, and you're going to destroy your life. With faith in position, you will always have good reports. with faith in position, you will always have good reports. The good news is the bad news is wrong. Right? The devil is a master at making things look worse than they actually are. Yes, he does. The world has its problems, and if we focus on the negative, we will lose our peace and our victory. How many can say amen to that? You know, you don't want to do it. Next thing you know, you're thinking about it. And you think about it some more. Next thing you know, you lost your peace about it. Look to a different source of news, God's awesome future for you. Don't let the devil look at yourself the way you are. Look at what God is saying about you. And keep your eyes on that promise and that promise only. And it will come to pass. I promise you that. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." That's God's words, Jeremiah 29:11-14. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Even if you can't see yourself healed or delivered or whatever, God sees you that way. And God wants to do the impossible in your life. There's a lot of us in this room today that we could say that God did the impossible. That we were between a rock and a hard place, and if it wouldn't be for God, we couldn't get out of it. But God came and he worked his miracles and brought us through. But we had to have a good report. We had to believe that God would do that for us. And we had to keep pushing forward, and we had to keep trusting God in every area of our life. All right? My heavenly realm does not know, God speaking, my heavenly realm does not know negativity. See that? My heavenly realm only knows positive. Have you come up to my third heaven? Then you also only know positive. Oops. We must not have got there yet, right? For it is in the third heaven that acquire the truth, and the truth only holds positive information. For it is in the third heaven that you acquire the truth, and the truth only holds positive information. Well, how many of you sit in your house in a chair and just keep telling the devil he has to get behind you? Every time he brings a negative thought, "Devil, I'm not listening. You don't know the truth, and it's the truth that sets me free." And then, okay, so God said that, and then God's so funny. Because it is what happened. He says, "My daughter just said, 'Father, that is not true.'" I did say that. But yes, it is true. When you know the truth, nothing but positive thinking occurs, for you do not have to wonder what is coming next. You know, when God's speaking to me and I'm writing it down, you all have to check it out. So he said, my daughter just said, "Father, that is not true." But yes, it is true. When you know the truth, nothing but positive thinking occurs, for you do not have to wonder what is coming next. I don't know about you, but I have to work on that. I know what God has told me, but every now and then I just think the negative. I look at what I see, and God tells us, "Don't look at what you see. Keep your eyes on me. Don't look at those circumstances around about you." God has given me some promises about my grandchildren, and every now and then I forget the promise because I'm looking at what I see, and what I see, it does not line up with the promise. You know, I mean, God is good, and what he says is truth, and it will come to pass. And as long as I look at the negative, the devil's going to make the negative be there, trying to get me to totally look negative, and then the positive can't come forth. Are you understanding this? So it's me, that's keeping that negative thing alive by looking at the circumstances and not looking at the promise. God says, why do you think I tell you to stay close to the fire? All truth is acquired by staying close to the fire. Are you so close to the fire that you feel the heat at all times, or is there a draft between you and the fire? I thought that was neat. I think some of you could say you got a big draft between you and God when it comes to speaking positive or negative things, or even thinking them. Because, come on, we think a whole lot of things we never put out. We think that, well, if I don't put it out there in the open, it won't do any harm. Yes, it does. Quit kidding yourself. But God said to somebody in here the other service, I even see what you're thinking. I hear what you're thinking. And we know he does. He knows all things. God said, draw closer, little ones, and know your positive God in such a way that nothing negative will proceed out of you. Draw closer, little ones, and know your positive God in such a way that nothing negative will proceed out of you. Come to the fire tonight and draw from the wells of positive knowledge and wisdom. Well, we're not still close enough to the fire. Won't you be so excited you won't be able to stand yourself whenever you can think nothing but positive things? And, you know, people will speak to you and actually make you believe that you can't never get out of what you're in. They can take that little tongue, that you know, and speak those words and wrap you right up with those negative words. And then there you are, bound because of the words they spoke over you or to you. What I would like for each one of us to do tonight is to quit looking at any circumstance. It's like, you know, I was, like I said, I've been really sick for 3 weeks and I'm really having a hard time. And I love to clean. I just love to clean. And it really bothers me that I can't clean my house. You know, I do clean, but not, I mean, I do every nook and cranny and corner and I even look for things. And it really bothers me that, you know, that I can't do that. And this is why we had the song service we had, because I was saying, God, when are you going to heal me? When is the healing going to manifest? And then it all started from there. Even if he never does, he's still God. And I have to still keep going. Are you understanding this? And so don't look at the negative. Don't look at the fact that you can't breathe. And you have pain racking through your body. You're healed in Jesus' name. Right? God loves each one of us so very much. And he only wants the very best for us. See, that's a positive. And we need to remember that. And we need to understand, no matter what he's allowing us to walk through, he still loves us. And he allows us to walk through some very deep valleys to strengthen us and to build our character. Because if we didn't have the trials and tribulations that we go through, we would be like spoiled kids. And we wouldn't be any good for God anywhere. And the Word of God tells you that your testimony will save many people. You know, what the things you went through, when you start giving that testimony, many, many people will run to the Father that you serve. Tonight, God says, come to the fire and draw from the wells of positive knowledge and wisdom. I think we all need to do that. I think we need to come to the altar and just tell God, I want to draw from your wells of positive thinking and wisdom. And that's what the altar is open for tonight. You know, guys, you're called to be leaders. You really are. And if you don't get all this down, you're not going to be able to help somebody else. And believe it or not, every time you come to the altar, God does do something. I get some really good reports of what happens when people, you know, come up here and go out in the spirit. He is doing something. He's building you up so that when he sends you forth, the devil won't have any place in you. And he won't be able to pull you down. He might make you cry every now and then, but he won't be able to put doubt and unbelief in you. because you know what God has done for you. That video that we passed around, was it a video? Anyhow, where the prophet, you know, saw the courts of heaven. And he was saying this beautiful man was sitting at the table. You know, Satan is very, very handsome. He has long blonde hair and he has blue eyes. He's come to me personally, face to face. And if you read the word, it tells you he is handsome. If you read the word, it also tells you that Jesus was not. I think the word used the word comely to describe Jesus. Jesus was not. And it even tells you Jesus wasn't anything to really look at. Didn't make the women swoon. That's what I'm trying to say. So, you know, whenever they say that that Satan is some, you know, looks like some demon, he does not. He looks just like you and I. And he is very handsome and very cunning. And if you don't know you're standing with God, he'll convince you that you're not one of God's children. And when he came to me, he spent an hour one time talking to me. I was washing my car. And he told me all kind of things. And I just didn't, I said, none of that's true. And he had to walk away. He was cursing me as he walked away. But he stood there for an hour trying to convince me that I needed to follow him and not God. So you might have a visitation from the devil sometime. And I'm going to tell you, he's very handsome. So when this little handsome dude comes walking up to you, just know that it's not, didn't come from God. It came from the very throes of hell. And really, if you get tonight, he wants to draw you to the wells of positive knowledge and wisdom. That knowledge is what you need. That positive knowledge, you need to know what is going on in heaven and in hell. And God wants to give you that tonight. So there you go.